So welcome to a new episode of Pocket Guide AI, Artificial Intelligence for Executives. My name is Ansgar Bittermann. I'm the CEO of Goldblum Consulting, and we're in Berlin, Germany. At Goldblum, we are specialized in AI project management and enterprise architecture. We help you bridge the gap between your existing IT and the business goals you want to achieve. Before we start, I would love to welcome our global panelists today and extend my warmest gratitude to them for being here every week to challenge our guests with insightful questions. Maybe you can just introduce yourselves to our listeners so that they know who you are.
Hi, I'm Satya. I'm based out of Toronto, Canada. I'm an EA at Spin Master Limited. Good to be here, Ansgar.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sao Kobayashi from Tokyo, Japan. I'm project manager, and today's topics are so interesting for me. Thank you.
Hi, this is Nicole Weidner. I'm based in Berlin, Germany, and I'm an IT project management consultant for Xenium.
Hi, I'm Johannes Neerkorn. I'm a chief product owner for AI services with Siemens.
Thank you, panelists. And today our topic is doubling sales conversions with AI. We are going to talk to Darek Kociecki. Darek has an MBA from the Kosminski University and a master from the SGH Warsaw School of Economics. He has been working in business development for over 10 years and is now chief growth officer at Neoteric. Neoteric itself is developing AI solutions for their global clients. So whom better to talk to than the CGO of an AI company in order to learn how to use AI to increase your sales conversions. Welcome, Darek.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. And I'm really happy to share some of the insights from my experience, because I think that I'm bridging towards, because on one hand, I'm helping other companies implement complex tech projects. I've been doing this for 10 years. But on the other hand, I also have a sales team that I manage. So I also understand the kind of challenges that are in front of sales executives, that they want to always sell more, increase revenue. So bridging those two worlds, I think that is an interesting mixture.
Thank you very much. And Darek, I mean, the topic today is doubling sales conversions with AI. I think a lot of people who are doing sales are very interested in what you propose as a solution.
Yeah, of course. So I think that, maybe some of you have already heard this phrase that, in today's world, data is the new oil. So that, who has oil can become rich. And as the history of, oil producing companies and nations shows, it can build huge fortunes. So using this analogy today, whoever holds the data can become very rich, but it's not so straightforward, because there is the whole industry and the whole knowledge associated with extracting oil, and the same is with the data. So you need to tap into those resources in an efficient manner to get results, get business, and build some positive ROI on investments. So today I'm going to be talking about one particular field where you can implement data and AI to increase financial results. And this is about sales activities. So most companies have sales teams, and they also have a lot of data, and most of the companies, they want to sell more. So by efficiently tapping into the sales data, you can potentially increase sales. And I'm going to be talking about two examples from real life cases that we've implemented at Neoteric, and I'll show how it was done that those companies achieved a positive return on investments. So the first example is from a company called Vectra. It's one of the large telecom companies in Europe. They have over, at the time that they had over 1 million subscribers, today even more after the merger. And the company that they sell telephony, they sell internet, broadband, and TV services to households. And what was the challenge? So being such a big company with over 200 salespeople, they were facing problem that a lot of their subscribers were leaving them. They were churning, canceling subscription, and their existing sales team was not big enough to cope with this challenge. So they always had like not enough salespeople to call everybody, to call all the subscribers. So they had to choose, and the decisions were not very efficient because they were just trying to call as many as possible people to convince them that they should stay and continue using the services. So where we help is where we've implemented a solution based on a bespoke model, AI model, that was trained on historic data of clients. So such a company that has, you know, million clients, they have a lot of data. With this challenge, we came and we've built a bespoke AI model that was using past data about their subscribers and their behavior, about their demographics, and looking for patterns that were distinguishing people that would be continuing the services by themselves. So there was no point calling those people, waste of time, because they're going to continue without the Salesforce effort. The other group was people that were would be churning anyway, so there's no point calling them because they're going to leave the service. And then the third group that the model was identifying was the people that will likely churn, but there is still something that you can do about it. So this model was basically predicting churners. That's one thing. And then the second thing is once you know that some, you know, individual is going to leave your company, then what kind of offers can make them stay with the company? And we've built a POC where we started. So it was a simple algorithm based on historic data that was trained on the data that we got from the company. And this POC was very simplistic in a form because it was basically an Excel spreadsheet that was the output of the algorithm that was giving the IDs of the subscribers that are likely to churn and also IDs of offers that would likely be appealing to them. So imagine somebody who is maybe willing to leave the service, and then you offer them, you know, that maybe I'm going to cancel your sports subscription because you don't watch sports, but for the same price, I'm going to offer you a Netflix subscription, and that will be very appealing to them, and they'll be happy to continue. And what are the results? So this project had amazing success because it has doubled the conversion of sales. So salespeople very happy because now they are calling people that are more likely to agree to whatever they are trying to propose. The churn has dropped by 24% in less than 6 months. So that means that the company started generating much more revenue as a result of this implementation. Very positive ROI. And at the end, this offer recommendations become part of their standard CRM system.
I would have a question regarding the cost of implementation of this AI solution that you just described.
Yeah, so when you think about, you know, the whole project, it's, you know, it's a big project because that's, you know, about tapping into the, you know, all existing data that they had was potentially relevant, and was about training the models and also about the trial. But it was also about implementing later the system that would connect with their CRM to be rolled out across the whole company, Salesforce. So altogether was a large project worth a couple of hundred thousand euro. But we started with a POC that was much cheaper. So the POC in this case was tens of thousands of euros, just to check if this is feasible and make sure that, you know, we don't build the whole system before we know that you can actually get tangible results from this implementation. And I think I'm going to talk more a bit more about our approach to implementing AI, where we've kind of standardized this building POC as a service.
Okay. But if you just one thing for this cost to clarify it, when you said it has a 10 times ROI, but the return on investment only came after it was fully implemented in the production service, right?
So, no, because they were all, the client was already able to reap benefits from the initial versions because they were already effective. So, you know, the sales team could already act upon it. So then there was positive return already before the full rollout across the whole company and across the whole ecosystem of IT in the company.
Okay.
So in this case, it was very, I would say, you know, happy path to get to, you know, to the great results. But of course, you know, some bumps on the road as well.
Do we know what was it? I mean, obviously, I'm just picking on the example, right? So 24% churn, it's a high number, right? So it's a pretty high number. But, you know, what was a benchmark in the industry for that region?
Yeah, so yeah, I would say that the company was lagging behind. I don't have the exact numbers, but you know, they identified even before we started the project, they already knew that they have problem with churn based on the competition analysis that that it was not inefficient, that others had better results, and if they just push on increasing budget on acquiring new clients, that would, a lot of this budget would be wasted because of high churn. So they, they needed to fix this churn before they could start, seriously growing new business.
Yeah, how what is your period that you're measuring your return on investment like for a project which is for a big company like this? It's going to cost $200,000. What's the effective return on investment? What's the period you're measuring it against?
So I don't know exactly because, but I think that you usually calculate it on say 2-3 years return, because in the technology world, things change rapidly. So you don't want to.
Yeah.
If you're having a return this year, it doesn't mean that in the 10 years from now, you'll have the same return because a lot of things in the equation going to change.
Yeah, and then how this high ROI, you must be doing a lot of other projects with this client, right? So, how many additional projects that you've actually started with this client?
Yes,
if you don't mind asking.
Yeah, sure. So this implementation of this system, became a big thing because it just, realized, showed to the client that, if they just rely on the existing CRM that they had and the processes, that, the system was not intelligent. So that, they decided they're going to build an add-on that sits on top of the existing CRM that has a separate interface that we created that has those offers called Suffler, like in theater, somebody who is, trained to help actors on the stage. So the system is helping salespeople that are on the stage with the clients what to offer, and this project was spin off beyond just churn prevention to all other aspects of sales. And I think that the beauty of the cooperation between Neoteric and Vectra is that we've helped them start build this system, but gradually they pick it up themselves. So they they, through this project, they built capacity to maintain and develop this further. And as of today, last year they've built their own data team through our cooperation, and I think now they are independent.
Great, thank you.
So Neoteric is actually helping companies become AI ready. So you show them first in the beginning how it's done, and then you help them build their own teams. Is that what you're doing?
That's one of the paths that is possible. I mean, of course, if the client wants and they see value, we are happy to continue, providing the services and helping build the product further. But if the client wishes to build competencies in-house, that's not something we're against. Rather, we are supportive. We will help through the transition.
And do you also help to staff?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so you know, you may have shortage in the local hiring market. You may have a freeze on, you know, how many headcounts you can have in your company. In such cases, we can also help scale the running operation.
Okay.
This looks like a real success story to me. So I wanted to ask if there was any like special challenges you faced during the process of getting these results, something you want to share with us.
Yes. So building such projects is a bumpy road because each AI project is an R&D project. So you know what you're going to discover at the end of the road rather than at the beginning, because at the beginning you just may have some hypotheses. So obviously there was a lot of challenge about gathering the data, and initially, a large company, you need to gather data from different sources. So one challenge was to collect all the data in one place for the purpose of building the POC. So I think that you need to have people that have knows for what kind of data can bring value, can be meaningful to train the model, because there is this balance between in theory you could get all the data, but dealing with larger company, getting the data is itself complex. So you have to make some trade-offs and look for low-hanging fruit, and also, adjusting the model. So once you build the model, our standard approach is that, we build a couple of different models and we test which one is the most efficient. So in this way, building 5 models, 3 of them will totally fail, 1 will be medium and 1 will be great. But they usually need refinement, adding more data, more features to the data. So it takes a bit of time. So these are the challenges, and also the challenge about the culture in terms of using the data. So on the client side, because implementing AI, it's not only about the technology and the data, but it's also about people. Yep. So for example, you need to convince people to use the results, once you do trial, you need to make sure that the trial is unbiased so that you get good results, because sample that a sales team, they don't know which if they are calling clients that are suggested by the model, random clients, and then also gathering good feedback. So these are the main challenges, I would say, implementing AI.
And there are a lot of AI consultants actually listening to this podcast. So if you've been working with companies successfully on projects, what kind of company are you actually looking for to work with? So what are the characteristics of a potential client, and what company has a characteristic where you think or where you say it would fail to do sales with them?
Yep. So let me just here to the slide. So in terms of implementing AI to increase sales conversion, so where we've identified is that there's this sweet spot of large sales teams. What I mean is large is 50, 100, 200, 500 salespeople, so that you have a lot of data, a lot of transactions, and you can train your models. Then the second ingredient is that this company should already collect data rigorously, because if you have messy data in your system, then you try to build model and you may get some results, but then you implement it and then you don't get no results. We had one project where we got data from the client which was supposed to be good data, but turned out that some deals they didn't close, not because the offer was not appealing, but because there was no stock. And but the model didn't know that there was no stock. The model thought that this was not an appealing offer, that somebody rejected it. So in those cases, the model was trained not efficiently, and the theoretical sample showed that it's going to give great results, but after the trial, poor results, and we had to go back to the drawing board. And then as well, revenue, because large revenue, if you build a model that incrementally improves sales, say 1-3% percentage points, so that should be meaningful to to have return on investment that is positive and makes everybody happy.
And when you're saying that that the initial model you found, it might maybe takes a few weeks. But how long is then the process of implementation? Because there's this famous quote, it's a 5% of the project is modeling and 95% is the rest. So how long does implementation cost or take?
So like with the oil, oil sits in the ground, but you need to find it. And, you don't just, build refinery in the desert, or even that, there is some oil, you don't build refinery. You first need to extract it, make a trial dig to make sure that, there is enough oil that you can dig it efficiently. The same with AI. So we've come up with something which we call AI Sprint. AI Sprint is basically, takes you from initial idea into a working POC in less than 4 weeks. So, through this process, we take 2 days of workshops trying to map the goals that we are trying to achieve and the data that we have, and trying to build a hypothesis, what will work. And then we take 3 weeks to basically build a trial model. And after this period of less than 4 weeks, we have a prototype that is working, and we can confirm, yes, this data can be turned into successful project, or no, that that project will fail. And because this AI Sprint, the cost is about 10,000 euro, so that's kind of money that is easier to put on the table to risk without guarantee of success, because in this way you can check that, hey, I can make good use of this data, and after that you can make informed decision to scale it. And usually the scaling part takes a couple of months, usually about 6 months to implement.
So with the example you showed us, it took 6 months to implement everything, as if we talk in a language of building houses, to hand over the key. So that was 6 months, or
so at that time we didn't have it the whole process so well structured as we have now with AI Sprint. But through 6 months we built a POC, made a trial, made fine tuning, and got the results. But we didn't build the whole sales system for it. Mm. That took another year.
Okay.
Question. How you can find most appropriate model from data? Yeah.
Sorry?
How you can find most suitable model from data structure also? Yeah.
It's the most suitable model. So I guess our AI experts, they have nose, because they they've worked on multiple projects. So I think that's the benefit of having a larger team of AI specialists in the company, because you can use collective brain experience of different people, and they are able to suggest those two types of models, they should bring good results in this case, but also about the data that we are going to use in the model.
So that means, If a company comes to you and tells you, we have the data, is there a guarantee for success?
No, and I think that's very important, for anybody who wants to implement AI, to know that because this is R&D, you should know that there is risk, but don't just avoid it totally, but try to minimize it. Put a bit of effort to dig, like with this oil extraction, make a trial dig, check if there is enough data that this is appropriate for implementing, that you can achieve the metrics that you set? And if yes, then you know, prepare a larger budget, but also you know, monitor through the project, because there are gonna be also you know likely pivots during the you know down the road. Sometimes you know you are building the model to achieve one metric. Turns out that this metric you know cannot be achieved, but maybe you know, there are some other metrics that you can achieve.
Mm-hmm. Do you mind is there a preferred hyperscaler? I'm assuming all this is done on cloud, but not. Is there a preferred hyperscaler you use normally or you just go with whatever the client actually, if there's an existing existing account for the client with their preferred one, like for example Microsoft or a Google, do you guys have a choice?
We usually have, especially with greenfield projects, because you know in those cases we've worked on you know Microsoft on Amazon solutions, Google, but also Oracle. So I think that we can adjust, but in greenfield projects, you know normally you know you can bring your own solutions to the table.
Okay. I mean, I'm just trying to understand the overall cost. If the clients are able to, if they have already made some investments, if they're able to use those investments to ensure that they could reduce the cost, right? So
that's possible. And there's also one more characteristic I think that I forgot to mention about, you know, when it is good to implement AI. So, you know, we had cases where, you know, people were asking us about implementing AI where, you know, they were not ready because they didn't use the data at all in their business. What I mean is that, you know, they didn't use simple analysis to check maybe, you know, female are more likely to continue the services, or maybe people that are with the business in, you know, 5 years are more likely to continue, those kind of things. So I think, you know, when you are thinking about implementing AI, make sure that, you know, you've already achieved results without AI, you know, with your data, because AI is the kind of like, you know, next step in this game. So, you know, you don't want to jump ahead and, you know, let's build a, you know, sophisticated AI model using, you know, 30 different variables. Let's just, you know, make sure that we've got the basis covered.
And do you have for us a definition, what is AI for you? Because every, you know, AI is like a basket term. You know, everybody puts their own X in it. So how do you define AI in Neoteric?
Yep. So AI is actually a model that is not... algorithm that is not created by humans, but by computers. So by AI, we mean algorithms that are more intelligent than we could be. So we just give orders, and the machine creates algorithm how it should behave. So imagine that, you know, maybe I could create a simple algorithm, and I did, you know, in my you know sales team career, I've created a couple of algorithms using similar manner, but without, you know, a computer. So, you know, I was playing with the data on my sales teams and trying to predict, you know, what will be the lifetime value of my clients. And using a couple of data points that I had, you know, I was able to predict, you know, segment the clients in two groups that had on average, you know, 4 times difference between average LTV. And you know that's possible without you know this artificial intelligence. But at some point, you know, to step up your game, you know, you need to use the help of computer to design even better, even more efficient, more accurate algorithm that can give you this, you know, incremental increase in sales.
Okay, and let's just jump maybe for the sake of the time to the culture you mentioned in the companies. So over the last 10 years, when you talk with people and you also have your own sales teams, how do these sales teams react to such AI solutions?
So I think that it's important that the people that are going to be using this, they need to see the value, so that shouldn't be a threat. So in the example that I was showing, the sales team, once they checked the recommendations from the system, they were very happy to use it because that meant that their job was giving them more money and more rewarding because they had better results. So I think that it's important to make trial maybe with people that are more innovative in the sales team, more happy to take risk, more open to innovation, and make a trial that will show positive results, and then it will be easier to adapt with the rest of the sales team.
Okay. So do you put special effort on convincing people to use it? I mean, is at the end of the project, do you have some sort of education phase, or is that something the customer has to do on their own?
In terms of using, I think that if you design the system well, there should be no education needed.
your word in God's ear. Okay.
Yes. No. So some adoption, yes, but the system should be very simple. Yep. So there might be a very complicated algorithm, under the hood, but then you've got just driving steering wheel. If you turn it left, you go left. If you turn it right, you go right. So in this system, that we created for Vectra, it's very easy. Like you see the client, and this is the offer that the system recommending. You just go and call him and sell it. And then, based on the outcome of the sales call, you mark in the system, hey, he accepted or he rejected. Mm-hmm. It's very simple from the user perspective, but this information goes back to the model to feed it, to be more precise in the future.
Okay. So your experience in Neoteric with with UX design, you say that is also important to support a success of AI solutions?
Yeah, I would agree, because when you think about the stages, so you start small, so you don't have time to build nice interface, you don't have time to think about functionality, because you just need to verify that it is doable, and then once it's doable, then you need to think a lot about how to implement it in a way that it will be appealing to people, easy to use, and that's important for end goal. End goal is not just that you prove on small sample of innovative salespeople that it can work, but end result is that the whole sales team uses it, and this is as much about technology as it is about psychology.
Perfect. Thank you very much. That was a good sentence for the end. It's more. It's also about psychology and not just about technology. As a master of psychology, I'm very, very happy about that. Thank you very much, Darek, for joining us today. And thank you, Nicole and Satya and Johannes and Isao and Jakob in the panel for asking all the questions. Have a lovely week, and we will all see each other next week.
Pleasure. Thank you. Thanks, Angela.
Thank you.
Cheers, bye.
Thank you.
Bye.